fast 3 days and seek God. And I'm going to talk about fleecing God in just a minute. I didn't have to do any of that because I'd already done the preparing work. And God had already led me to the top of the mountain where I saw over. I said, I don't want to stay here. This is not where God wants me. And had I not done that, I could never be your pastor. I could never work the job I had and be your pastor. But this job lends itself to me to be able to do both. So I thank God that I seized that moment. There may have never been another moment like that again. And so God prepares us to get ready to seize the moment. God showed them all the miraculous things in the wilderness. They got to the top of the mountain and said, this is it. But they did not seize the moment. And they were turned back. I don't want to cross anybody's theology. So, you know, Paul said some places, he said, I speak by revelation. In other places, he said, I speak as a man. You read that? I'm going to speak as a man. I'm giving you my opinion. I'm not telling you what to do. It may work great for you. See, I agree with inquiring of the Lord. I really don't agree with fleecing the Lord. Now, and I'll tell you why. And I'm not, again, you may be great for you, but I want to tell you the fallacy that you can run into. Inquiring of the Lord is like questioning the Lord. It's like David when he messed up when he went to Ziklag, right? And he lost his family and everything was gone. And what did he do? He didn't say, I'm going to fleece the Lord. He said, I'm going to inquire of the Lord. And he got the ephod, and Abithar brought the ephod, and he inquired of the Lord. He said, is this my fight or not? Do I fight this fight or not? I'm not going to say, let there be water on the rock or not on the rock. I'm not going to do that. Is this my fight or not? And the Lord said, yeah, it's your fight. We're going to win. And you're going to get off. And he arose and he was gone. Let me tell you a little bit about fleecing. Actually, I looked this word up. You can too. You know the old nursery rhyme? Fleece was white as snow. That's where the word comes from, is fleece. Gideon used wool. And we call it fleecing the Lord. But actually, the word fleece means to steal the wool from a sheep. That's what the word really means. And so he took the wool of a sheep because the Lord had called him a mighty man of valor. And he was scared out of his wits, hiding from the Midianites for his own life, trying to save him a little wheat for him and his family. The Lord said, you're going to beat all these Midianites up. And he's like, Lord, you can't mean me. I've never fought a battle in the day of my life. So in his uncertainty, he decided to fleece the Lord. So he steals the wool of a sheep. And he takes the wool and he lays it out. And this happened about 3 times. But he said, Lord, if you mean I'm going to be the man, then let the dew fall on everything but the wool. Let the ground be wet with dew, but not the wool. Next morning, he got up. That's exactly what it was. Well, that wasn't enough. See, one fleece leads to another fleece. And so he was, let's reverse that. Now, Lord, tomorrow I want the wool to be wet and the ground to be dry. He got up the next morning. It was. But that still wasn't good enough. And let me tell you something. The fleece did not convince him. Read it. The fleece did not convince him. What convinced him was when he went into the enemy's camp. And he heard the enemies talking. One of them said, hey, buddy, I had a dream last night. And I dreamed that a big roll of barley came rolling down the hill. And it smote a bunch of people. And the other man said, oh, I know what that is. That is the sword of Gideon and of the Lord. And the Midianites are those people. Man, when he heard that, the Bible says he arose. And he called for a company, and he started setting the troops out. He started getting them ready. See, that's what convinced him, not the fleece. Not the fleece. And so you look at another place, it's not called a fleece, but it's like give me a sign kind of thing. And you might remember when, who's the guy that got 15 more years? What's his name? Hezekiah. Hezekiah got 15 more years, and he said, I don't know about that. The prophet just told me I'm fixing to die. And now he turns around, he tells me, I got 15 more years. I'm not sure about that. And so they said, the prophet said, well, you want a sign? How about the sundial go down 15 degrees? He said, that's a light thing. How about go backwards 15 degrees? I'll know it's God then. And see, here's the problem with fleecing. You make it too easy. You make it too easy. Because it could happen. The things I've ever seen anybody fleece could happen. It could just happen. But the sundial don't go back 15 degrees. I mean, if you're going to fleece the Lord with something like a golf ball, you need to say, Lord, when I hit this golf ball with my putter, I want it to go 300 yards, ricochet off of that pine tree, hit that hickory nut, that oak tree, and it fall in the hole. Then you'll know it's God. But if you say, I want to drive it 200 yards, that's possible. Or you understand what I'm trying to tell you? And what happens, you put yourself in a box. It's like one guy told me, he said, I fleeced the Lord one time. He said, I was standing in front of a basketball goal, and I said, Lord, if you want me to, whatever it was he wanted to do, he said, help me, Lord, I'm going to make this shot. Well, that's possible. But he missed. But he wanted to go, so he just kept shooting until he made it. No, that's his testimony, and that's true. He said, I just kept shooting till I made it. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And that's what happens when you fleece the Lord. You fleece it with things that could happen. Why don't you fleece him with things that can't happen? Then you know it's God. Are you understanding me? Now, that's just Bagot talking, and y'all can keep doing whatever you want to do. But it was the dream that made him, when he heard the enemy say, that is the sword of Gideon and of the Lord, and we are the people that's going to be, oh, I know now, that's the Lord, because my enemies don't talk like that. Oh, my goodness. We have something called the Holy Ghost to lead us and to guide us into all truth. And so back in the old days before the Holy Ghost was inside of them, I could kind of understand more, give me a sign, I'm not sure and all this. But the Holy Ghost is a teacher. It is a leader. It is a guide. That means you follow it. And so it leads you and guides you into all truth. So when it leads you into something, that's it. It wouldn't lead you into it if that wasn't it. So I don't need another sign. The Holy Ghost led me to this opportunity. Are you with me? The promises of God must be seized. They must be pursued. Even though they are yours, you still have to go after it. In my mind, when they got to the top of the mountain and they saw all the beauty and the splendor, they brought back the grapes. They weren't expecting to fight. And you know what? They really didn't have to. They really thought, we're just going to walk in. We're just going to walk in. It's going to be, they're not even going to be there when we get there. It'll be empty houses and so forth, and we'll just walk in. But it was almost that good, but not quite. He, even one place, took the hornets and drove them out of town. Man, I've left my tractor in the woods over yellow jackets. One time, brother, I picked up a little, I could tell you some story about them yellow jackets. I'm not sure you could too. One time I was trying to fix a road and I got me a scoop of dirt and I was going to let it down in this hole. And man, they was ding, ding, ding. So I put that tractor in high gear and they were still dinging. I've had them in the bucket. I had scooped them up and they were in the bucket. So I had to leave the tractor for a while and come back and get it. So if I run from a few yellow jackets, can you imagine God sent the hornets into a city and drove them out? They marched around walls of Jericho. They fell down. Ai, they didn't really have to fight them. They went in and burned the city. So God did have a plan, but they had to seize the moment. I'm telling you tonight, you still have to seize the moment. You're not just going to walk in and take over without doing anything. It still takes faith. And what happened with those unbelievers, by the time they said, yeah, I'll believe. Anybody ever heard of a seizure before? We've heard of seizures, you know, grand mal seizures and epileptic seizures and all kinds of seizures. And they're very terrible. But the reason they're called seizures is because they come upon you when you don't know they're coming. That's why it's called a seizure. And so they were going to take over Canaan's land as a seizure. They didn't know they were coming. They weren't prepared. They were walking amongst them and picking up grapes and things. They didn't even know. But by the time that they had thought this thing out and finally decided, yes, we're going, they were aware of it. You see why you got to seize it when you can? By the time they decided to do it, the Bible says they were in the mountain hills waiting on them. And they came down and whooped them. And that's why you and I have to seize the moment while it is still called today. As they come this evening, Noah built an ark. 8 people seized the moment. And God shut the door. Parable of 10 virgins. 5 of them seized the moment. 5 waited too late. And God shut the door. So my wife told somebody the other day, said, one thing about my husband, he never leaves a door that's open. He doesn't check it out. Never. I can always say no. If the door's open, I go in and say, hello, how are y'all doing? Wrong room, sorry, see y'all later. But try the spirits to see if they be of God. One thing I don't ever want to do is stand behind a door that God has shut and keep waiting for it to open again. Let me in. And he shut the door. The Bible says when Noah went in, you know what it says? It didn't say he shut the others out. It says that he shut him in. He shut him in. I like that. He shut him in. I'm afraid if we're not careful, we slander God and thinking he's not able, when the Bible says he can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. We slander God by saying, well, it's going to take too long. We slander God by saying it ain't never going to happen. If it's from God, it will happen. If it's not from God, you can't make it happen. And if you did, it wouldn't work. Would you stand with me? I close with this. Hebrews 3:7 says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, everyone say with me, today. Today. One more time, today. Today. If ye will hear his voice, if you will listen, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation that I have read to you tonight. In the day of temptation in the wilderness. But let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. They got right to the day of rest. They got right to the moment of looking over and said, it's everything God said it would be. But it's not, I can't do it. I can't do it. If God brought you this far, and how many of you are here by God's mercy and grace? Listen, if he brought you this far, he'll bring you the rest of the way. You've done the hard part. That was the hard part. All the slavery and all the whippings and all the taskmasters and all of those things, that was the hard part. And even the 2 weeks in the wilderness, the easy part is pursuing the promises of God. Once you said ye have need of patience, after that ye have done the will of God, you might wait for the promises of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mm-mm-mm. Seize the day, the moment, the opportunity as God presents it to you. Let's sing tonight as we get ready to go home. Hallelujah.